न यस्य लोके स्वजना परो वा न त्याद्रतो न कश्चिद् विकारया वायां वृथाय याच्छरणापदे धाम आशास्महे चान्दत भुक्तभोगाम् Lord Shiva regards no one as his relative, yet there is no one who is not connected with him. He does not regard anyone as favorable or abominable. We respectfully worship the remnants of his foodstuff, and we vow to accept what is rejected by him. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Kashyapa informed his wife that just because Lord Shiva happened to be his brother-in-law, that should not encourage her in her offense toward him. Kashyapa warned her that actually Lord Shiva is not connected with anyone, nor is anyone his enemy. Since he is one of the three controllers of the universal affairs, he is equal to everyone. His greatness is incomparable because he is a great devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is said that among all the devotees of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Shiva is the greatest. Thus the remnants of foodstuff left by him are accepted by other devotees as Mahaprasad, or great spiritual foodstuff. The remnants of foodstuff offered to Lord Krishna are called Prasad. But when the same Prasad is eaten by a great devotee like Lord Shiva, it is called Mahaprasad. Lord Shiva is so great that he does not care for the material prosperity for which everyone of us is so eager. Parvati, who is the powerful material nature personified, is under his full control as his wife. Yet he does not use her even to build a residential house. He prefers to remain without shelter. And his great wife also agrees to live with him humbly. People in general worship Goddess Durga, the wife of Lord Shiva, for material prosperity. But Lord Shiva engages her in his service without material desire. He simply advises his great wife that all kinds of worship, the worship of Vishnu is the highest, and greater than that is the worship of a great devotee or anything in relation with Vishnu. Why Srimad Bhagavatam declares Lord Shiva to be the greatest of all Vaishnavas, Vaishnavanam Yathashambhu, is herein being explained by Sri Kashyapa Muni. Lord Shiva is the source of everyone within this material world. The combination of Shiva and Parvati is the very principle which activates the entire material existence. Yet, Lord Shiva considers no one his relative. Lord Shiva does not see anyone as either favorable or abominable. He sees everything simply in terms of one's relationship with Krishna. This is described in Bhagavad Gita. One who has no friends or enemies on the material platform of life, one who sees a lump of dirt and pure gold with the same vision, one who sees the enemy and friend with the same understanding, that person is very dear to Krishna. In order to see like this means we have no selfish desire. As long as you have selfish desire on the bodily concept of life, you must discriminate. This is dirt and this is gold. This is friend, this is enemy. This is happiness, this is distress. However, when one is actually situated on the Brahma-bhuta form, Brahma-bhuta prasanatmana sochati na kaṅkṣati, he does not discriminate. He sees everything equally because he has nothing to gain from anything of this material world. Such a person is full and complete within him or herself. Lord Shiva, because he is always immersed in meditation on the names and pastimes of his Supreme Lord, Krishna, therefore, the things of this world have no significance to him. To actually be beyond the bodily concept of life permanently, we must experience the higher taste of the spiritual reality of devotional service. The ecstasy of Krishna consciousness is so great. Rupa Goswami describes that the miseries and happinesses of this world are always changing. But the bliss of experiencing mukti, Brahman realization, is hundreds of millions of times greater than any of the so-called joys that are later transformed into misery of this world. But, Rupa Goswami explains, one who has attained loving service to Krishna, for such a person, mukti is compared to a little drop, and bhakti is compared to a vast, unlimited ocean. One who experiences this ocean of love of God, what is his concern for this material world? There's nothing to enjoy. Sripad Jamunacharya explained, sex life is the king of all pleasures in this world. It is the force that keeps everyone bound, birth after birth after birth, to suffering. Srila Prabhupada explained, if you want to stop suffering, give up sex life. Once you give up sex desire, you're liberated. As long as you have sex desire, you have to suffer. And yet, society is so misled, instead of trying to reduce it in such a way to ultimately give it up, the whole materialistic society of today is based around trying to increase it. But Jamunacharya explained, although I was so much attached to this pleasure throughout my life, now that I have tasted the sweetness of loving service to you, my Lord, when I even think of the pleasures of sex life, my lips curl in disgust and I spit. Prabhupada says, spit at the thought. How is that? Now some people, brahmacharis, when they try to be very much proud that they are renounced, they will see a woman and they will curl their lips in distaste and spit. And due to that aparad, they usually end up being a henpecked husband a few years later. But we're not talking about a show bottle form of aversion. We are speaking about one who has actually realized the higher taste of Krishna consciousness. Lord Shiva is the very personification of this standard of selfless devotion. And great personalities teach by their example. Acharya Pashanam Yadyaracharati Stastatarevitarojana. We learn from watching the behavior and hearing from Acharya. So Lord Shiva is put in his particular position within this world for a very, very instructive purpose. And one who understands this will achieve the spiritual world and never take birth again in this material existence. That is for sure. If we understand what is Lord Shiva's actual function, we will achieve pure devotional service. What a lesson he's teaching. Lord Shiva is in charge of the whole material energy. His eternal consort is Parvati. Parvati is Durga. She is the controller of all the universes. What type of people worship Durga? Generally, practically always, it is people who want material benedictions. Except for the gopis who worship Durga in the form of Katyayani for Krishna as her husband, have you ever heard of anyone worshipping Durga for anything except material benedictions? Anyone? You live here in India, there are Durga temples everywhere, especially in Bengal. There is Durga Puja. Perhaps the biggest festival in all of India besides Kumbh Mela is Calcutta's Bengal's Durga Puja. So much bigger than Ganesh Puja in Maharashtra, believe it or not. But whether Durga or Ganesh, what are they worshipping for? Because Ganesh is the son of Durga. So they are worshipping for the same purpose. They want wealth. Because without money, it's very difficult to be happy in material life. Money is a standard of happiness, in the sense that it facilitates sense gratification. So thus, people are very much greedy for money, addicted to getting more and more money. Look at the world today. Look at the city of Bombay or any place. People's main concentration in life is simply how to get money, whether you're rich or whether you're poor or middle class. The prominence of your life is simply trying to get money. That's the husband, and the wife's prominence is to spend the money. That's how it works, usually. But there's so much of a great fear of losing money. And there's so much of a lust and greed for getting money. So therefore, Shiva, Durga, Ganesh, they are most popular. Why? Because they especially are supervising the whole resources of material existence, and they can give you whatever you want if you worship them properly. So people are mad after this type of devotion, so-called devotion. Give me wealth. Give me a beautiful partner. Give me fame and distinction. Give me good grades in my exams. Why do you want good grades in your exams? Because that will help you make lots of money and become more famous in the future. It's not that getting good grades in exam is just a selfless activity in and of itself. It provides a stepping stone to more money and popularity and control, power. So when these young students come and say, Swamiji, can you bless me that I get good grade in exam? What can you say except, I pray that Krishna blesses you, that you get good grade on your final exam of death. Because no other exam means anything. Except something for material benediction. Unless you're specifically doing it for Krishna. So here is Durga. She's giving all, actually, whether they worship Durga or not, she's the one that's either giving or not giving. It's not that things just happen by accident. She's controlling material nature. Even an atheist, any wealth they have is by the grace of Durga. Any poverty they have is by the control of Durga. It's not just the Durga worshippers. She has to supply according to your karma. This is what Krishna told Nanda Maharaj on the day of Govardhan Puja. Why worship Indra? No doubt he's in charge of the rain, but he has to give you according to what your karma is. So similarly, all material benedictions, ultimately they're coming from Shiva and Parvati, whoever you are. But if you please them, you get a special favor. If you don't specifically please them, then just according to your particular karmic situation, you'll get or not get. So they are the supplier of all the riches and opulences of this entire cosmic manifestation. And how do they live? We want a beautiful house. We worship Shiva and Parvati. But where does Shiva live? In crematoriums. And when Shiva's in crematoriums, where is Parvati? Right next to him in the crematorium. Even in their abode of Mount Kailash, they have no utensils. They have no house. They have no televisions, tape recorders, computers, or anything else that we try to get from them. They don't even have a bed to sleep on. They're sleeping, living under a banyan tree. Under the open sky. This is Parvati. It's not that she lives different than her husband. What a lesson this is. The people that give everything have nothing to do with what they give because they understand it's all useless. It's very similar to Sanatana Goswami. He had the touchstone in the garbage. He was living under a tree. The person he gave the touchstone to, he could build houses, beautiful clothes, wonderful foods. Sanatana Goswami was in tattered, used rags as Kopan, sleeping on the hard ground, eating only some dry rotis. How is this? The Brahmin was sent by Lord Shiva. Because Lord Shiva ultimately is Vaishnavanam Yathashambhu. He wants us all to be detached from material life. That's why this person who worshipped him, he sent to Sanatana Goswami. You have this touchstone. How is it that you keep it in the garbage and you're living in such poverty? You must have something more. Yes, I do. First, renounce the touchstone. That means first renounce all your illusory hopes of being happy through material life. Now that you do that, here is the real touchstone. Here is the source of real wealth. The chanting of the Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Then he had the realization. Material existence is simply a disturbance. Material enjoyment is simply a way of suffering. And Lord Shiva Parvati, throughout the cosmic manifestation, during this duration of time, they lived the same way. Anything anyone has materially, they're getting directly or indirectly from them. And they don't want any of it. He doesn't even wear clothes. Sometimes he may wear some skin of an animal. But oftentimes, he just is naked and he wears the dust, not even the dust, the ashes from the crematorium. Hare Krishna. And his devotees are so much fond of nice clothes, nice home, nice everything. So this is a very, very important symbolic lesson
for the whole world.
The person who's giving it all has nothing to do with it because he knows it's all bad. And his wife, she'll have nothing to do with it because she knows it's all bad. They did a survey. Tobacco is one of the biggest killers in the world. The cigarette industry is simply a legal organization for murder. That's all, nothing else. It says on every package of cigarette, in so many words, this will kill you. But still you should smoke it because it will give you sense gratification. The survey explained that the leading managers and owners of most every cigarette company in the Western world do not smoke. Because they know more than anyone how it will ruin your life. What tastes like nectar at the beginning tastes like poison at the end. But what kind of nectar is this? Poisonous smoke. But people in the mode of passion and ignorance, they think poisonous smoke is nectar. And they can't give it up. They're addicted. But the people who own the companies, they understand that it will cause so much misery. So they will not smoke it because they know it's bad. But they're still giving it to everyone who wants it. Shiva and Parvati, they don't advertise material existence. They're advertising renunciation. But they know it's bad. Material sense gratification is terrible. Accumulation of wealth is bad. It will make you suffer. It will spoil your life. Therefore, they will have nothing to do with the benedictions that they're giving others. They live the simplest, most austere lives. And you never see them lamenting over Parvati doesn't complain, Shiva, why don't you give me a house? Why don't you give me new clothes? Parvati is following her husband in the path of pure bhakti. Therefore, they are always so deeply immersed in the ecstasy of Krishna consciousness. In Simantadweep, in Srinavadweep Dham, we read the story of how once Lord Shiva was dancing in ecstasy, dancing and dancing and dancing like Parvati never saw him dance before. He was so much dancing. And he was chanting the holy names of Lord Gauranga. Parvati asked, who is this Gauranga you're dancing and chanting about? He explained, he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's Krishna in his most munificent and merciful form. And he descends in this place called Navadweep. So Parvati wanted so much the darshan of Lord Gauranga that she began to perform great penance and tapasya, chanting the holy name of Gauranga. And thus Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared before her in his beautiful, beautiful golden form. Lotus-like eyes. His arms stretching beneath his knees, beautiful curling black hair. He was dancing. When Parvati saw him, she began to weep and cry. This is the perfection, the ultimate goal of life, to have your darshan. But I have such a thankless task, as in my role of service to you as Durga Devi, I'm not even allowed to see your wonderful pastimes or participate directly. I have to be in this world just causing everyone to suffer. I'm just here giving all kinds of material benedictions to people, and I know it will only make them suffer. I'm giving them material benedictions knowing that all it's going to do is ruin their very human form of existence. But this is my job. I'm simply preparing them to meet with Yamaraj by giving them material pleasures. I'm putting them in illusion. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so happy with her devotional service that he gave her a place to be supervising the affairs in her Yogamaya form of the Holy Dham. He told her, actually you are Srimati Radharani's expansion. In the spiritual world you appear as my eternal consort, but in this material world this is your job. Durga means fort. It also means prison. Your job is to keep people in the prison of misery. How? By giving them material benedictions. You don't keep a person in the material world by just making them suffer. You keep them here by giving them the hope that you can be happy. That the things of the senses will make you happy. As long as you have that hope, you have to stay in the material world. As soon as you give up all hope that there's no happiness anywhere in sense gratification, then you're liberated. So Durga is keeping everyone like a fish chasing after the worm connected to the hook. Keeping them attracted. This will give you enjoyment. Then you suffer. This will give you enjoyment. How many hooks do we have to swallow before we realize that it's not worth it? Birth after birth after birth, we're eating those worms and getting hooked, suffering terribly. And the next minute, we're looking for another one and another one and another one. That's Durga's service to the Lord, to keep rascals out of the spiritual world. It's not that Durga keeps us here by making us suffer. Durga keeps us here by giving us the false hope that we can be happy with sense gratification. If there was just suffering and no hope of happiness through sense gratification, who would want to stay here? But people, even at the fag end of their lives, suffering miserably, still think that there's some happiness. There must be some relief. There must be some enjoyment. So, we can understand by their example what it is that they're giving. What they're giving is what people are worshipping them and performing tapasyas and everything else for, but they will not even touch those things because they know their all material enjoyment and accumulation is poison. It is simply poison. So we don't want it. Hare Krishna. The six Goswamis, they live by this principle. Because of our conditionings, we may need certain things of material life for our sustenance. Srila Prabhupada explained, you should just keep what you need to keep your body and soul together. You do not require anything more. But Rupa Goswami describes the principle of Yukta Vairagya. You can accept any amount of material resources, providing you are detached from enjoying it yourself and use it in the service of Krishna. That is the highest principle of renunciation. To use everything in the service of Krishna. But nothing for our own personal selfish interests. Krishna explains in Gita, the sources of misery is material enjoyment, which comes of the senses in contact with the objects of the senses. So, Lord Shiva is Vaishnavanam Yatha Shambhu. He is the greatest Vaishnava because he lives by this principle. Vairagya Vidya Nija Bhakti Yoga. He has complete knowledge of what material life is all about. Srila Prabhupada explained, if you want to learn what a machine is all about and how to use it, then you talk to the manufacturer. He can tell you the best. So Shiva Parvati, they are supervising material existence. If you want to know what material existence is all about, look at them. Ask them. They're speaking in the Shastras. Puna punascharvata charvananam. Wasting our lives chewing that which has already been chewed and chewed and chewed and chewed. So many births and deaths. Actually, sense gratification in human life, you're chewing the same thing you chewed when you were a lizard, when you were an insect, when you were a hog or a dog. It's the same principle of chewing. Eating, sleeping, mating, and defending, and some facilities to accommodate better quality of eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. Therefore, we must see through the eyes of the Shastra. We should not see through these eyes, because these eyes are conditioned. This is very nice. This is not very nice. The ears is thinking, this is nice, this is not nice. This thin layer of flesh covering our body, we're thinking, this is nice and this is not very nice. But we see through the eyes of the scriptures. Here is Shiva Parvati. How are they living? What do they see nice? What they see nice is the beautiful form of the Lord. In Vrindavan, close by, one Brahmin worships Shiva. He asked Lord Shiva, what is it? You want to give me a benediction? Give me that which is most dear to your life. He said, yes, I will. And he gave him a deity of Sri Radha Vallabha. And he was worshipping that deity in like a cave. So simple. This is real wealth. To have Krishna. To not have Krishna is to be in poverty. Shiva and Parvati give material benedictions, but they're sad to give them. But when they see the Vaishnavas dancing and chanting, then they are very happy. So sometimes people who worship Durga for so many generations in their family, they think, how could we give up this worship and worship Krishna? Will not Durga be angry with us? She has her trident. She may come before us with that trident. That means you do not understand anything about Durga's thinking. Durga does not like to give you material things that your family has been worshipping her for so many generations. She's disgusted. What to speak of her husband, Lord Shankar? If you really want to make them happy, then accept what ultimately they are giving. They are giving material benedictions ultimately just to frustrate you so you'll surrender to Krishna. That's their goal. When they give some person, some of these big, big industrialists or big, big business people, people are envious. They have so many thousands and thousands of crores of rupees at their disposal. They're being blessed by Goddess Durga. But as far as Durga is concerned, her blessing is a curse. And from the point of view of a Vaishnava, that blessing is a curse. They're so much infatuated, they're so much attached. Krishna Chandra Prabhu was explaining to me, one of the most successful businessman in the entire planet Earth, one of the three top people. He wrote a book, and it's all about if you want to be on the top, you have to be totally paranoid or fearful all day and all night for your whole life. This is not just some speculation. This is realization. I think the name of the book, which is a number one bestseller all over the world, is called Success Through Paranoia. Paranoia means total fear. And he goes on and says, if you act in this world, if you want to be big, you have to constantly be in fear. And your whole life has to be reacting to that fear. Otherwise, you cannot be a big success in the high sense of the world, in this world. I asked Krishna Chandra Prabhu, you're so big, but you seem quite peaceful. You don't seem fearful. He said, maybe that's why my company's having so much difficulty. He's not fearful. He's chanting Hare Krishna. But it is a fact. The price of becoming big in this world means you have to suffer. Look at these big, big politicians. Do they look like they're Atmarama? Self-satisfied. Giving blessings. They're totally in fear. They're in fear someone will assassinate them. They have all kinds of bodyguards around them. They're in fear that their party is going to reject them or be displeased with what they do and pull them down from their position. They're in fear of what the voters might say, so they have to tell all kinds of lies that they don't even believe in. Constant fear. So the greater you are in this world, the more you have to fear. And fear is the basis of misery. So, Shiva, Parvati, when they give these material benedictions to these big people, they actually know that they're putting them in spiritual poverty unless they use it all for the service of Lord Krishna. So devotees are never envious of anyone because of their material positions. Sometimes devotees even, when they're captured by Maya, they think, why, this devotee has such a nice house and I have such a little house. And the wives say to the husbands, look at Prabhuji. He has such a nice house. But why you, Dasji, is only giving me this? If you really want to be a bona fide Prabhu, you should give me a house and a car and all kinds of nice utilities. If you want to earn the title of Prabhu in your house, this is what you must do. So all this comparison is simply Maya. Devotees should think, oh, you are not chanting your rounds carefully, therefore I'm very much worried about you. Not that you are not supplying money, therefore I'm worried. We should understand the wealth of this world is simply a miserable condition. Parvati's giving, but she won't touch it herself. They understand real well. Therefore, if you have that deity of Durga sitting in your house for the last 108 generations, you should not think, let me worship her for material benedictions, otherwise she'll be angry with me. You should pray to her, give me bhakti to Krishna. And if she actually gives you something genuine, then she'll give you the inspiration in your heart to come to Radha Gopinath temple and chant and dance and live as a Vaishnava. Then Durga will think, ah, very nice, my devotee has finally accepted my real blessing. Maharashtra Ganapati, he is the son of Durga and Parvati, like father, like son. People are fearful. What if we don't worship Ganapati? How can we just transfer our devotion to Krishna? If you have achieved the real blessing of Ganapati, you will come and you will chant the holy names. You're doing all these Durga Pujas and Ganesh Pujas thinking, give me wealth, give me good grades, give me good wife, give me good husband, give me power, give me control, give me popularity, give me skills. You're not pleasing them. Externally you're pleasing them. But in their hearts, they're simply thinking, you are in illusion. Take my real blessing. Chant the holy names. That is the perfection of fulfillment. Sarva dharman paritya jamam ekam sharanam braja aham tvam sarva papebhyo moksha isyami masaja. Abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender to me. Surrender means I am your servant. Let me serve however you like me to serve. All the demigods, all, 33 million demigods, they will be most happy if you surrender to Krishna. Because then you will be happy. Therefore, it is explained by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, there's only one real religious principle in the age of Kali. Serving Vaishnavas and chanting Harinam. Those are the only real religious principles. Serving Vaishnavas and chanting Harinam. That is the example of Shiva and Parvati. And anyone who's living by this standard, we want to get the remnants of their foodstuffs. Kashyapa Muni is praying, begging, let me get what Shiva rejects. Let me take his Mahaprasad. Because he knows by taking the Mahaprasad of such a Vaishnav, we're showing how much we honor and respect that Vaishnav. And by doing so, you become most pleasing to Krishna. Narottam Das Thakur says, the dust of the feet of the six Goswamis are my five kinds of foodstuff. That is what I want to live off. That is my nourishment. Service to the great souls and the remnants of their food.